All right, so I'll say good afternoon. I'm sorry that that we're getting started a little bit late. My apologies. So I want to share with you, although normally, again, I'm sure I was very excited by the new acronym, the CHAW acronym for our, thank you to Jeremy for that. Today, actually, I want to try to do something a little bit different, not as much halacha, but actually just a fascinating topic that I became very intrigued by from today's daf. So already in yesterday's daf, well, I should say yesterday as I was preparing today's daf, I came across something that I thought was just amazing. Whether you're learning the daf or not, I think you'll find this conversation amazing as well. So let's begin with number one. This Gemara. Hano bar yuni dahava bishavus ed Rabbi Meir. There are a couple of baryonim. Baryonim we loosely translate as ruffians. Ruffians, a couple of difficult people in the neighborhood of Rabbi Meir. Dahava kametzar li tuva, who were causing Rabbi Meir an incredible amount of difficulty. Havakabai Rabbi Meir rachmi iluya. Rabbi Meir wanted to daven that they should die. That was his approach with all of this, right? I'm going to daven, they'll die, they'll stop bothering me. Amrle Bria Divisu. Bria, his wife, said to him, "My daitech, what are you thinking? In other words, why are you choosing that approach? Mishum dichsev yitamu chatoim, miksev chotim chatoim ksev." David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "Yitamu chata'im min ha'aretz u'rsha'im odinam." So she says, it doesn't say chotim, it doesn't say the sinners shall cease to exist. Rather, what does it say? Chata'im, sins will cease to exist. Once sin ceases to exist, then what? U'rsha'im odinam. Kevan diyasmu chata'im u'rsha'im odinam. So Bria gives her husband a different idea. She says, instead of going ahead and davening that they should die, let's do something different. Daven that ultimately they should stop sinning. Or in other words, daven that what? That what? They should do tshuva. They should do tshuva. Right? Ultimately, boy rachami iluya delehadru b'tshuva. Daven that they should become bali tshuva. Incredible suggestion. And what happens? The Gemara says, "Boi racham eiluya." Sure enough, Rabbi Meir davened. He davened for these people, the hadru b'tshuva, and they did tshuva. They repented. An incredible, incredible story. Comes along the Marsha. The Marsha, you know, the Marsha was Rav Shmuel Idels. Idels was not his given last name. Interestingly enough, I don't remember what his actual last name was. The Marsha married into a very wealthy family. Very wealthy family. His father-in-law passed away. And when his father-in-law passed away, the Marsha had this idea that now he would have to go to work. I know, craziness, right? Crazy. Whoever thinks there's a thing like this. Didn't have to go to work. His mother-in-law was so committed to his learning and to his potential becoming a Gregory Talmud Chacham that she said to him, "You stay in learning, I'll manage the family business, you stay in learning." He had such gratitude towards his mother-in-law that he adopted his wife's family's last name. I think only time in history that a son-in-law has taken it. So Idels was actually his wife's maiden name. That's the hakaras hatov he had towards his mother-in-law. Incredible. So the Marsha is very bothered by this whole Gemara. The Marsha says, look at number two. V'yesh la'ayin bazeh, devadai ba'adam hamevakish rachamim al atzmo. Lahach zero b'tshuva mecha. So listen to what the Marsha says. The Marsha comes at this from a different perspective. Well, so let me ask you the following question. Let's say I want to be a Baal Tshuva, right? I've done things wrong in my life that I'd like to correct. I'd like to become a Baal Tshuva. Can I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help to become a Baal Tshuva? What would you say? Sure. Well said, Mr. Right? Sure. Right? Anyone disagree with that confident sure? It's a matter of choice. Meaning, what Jacob was... What? Good, Hashem Hashem, good. So we have a pasuk. Jacob saying, what do you mean it's a matter of choice?
It's up to you to choose.
Oh, also, remember again, the Gemara Maseches Nida. The Gemara says, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyiras shamayim. There is a concept that at the end of the day, what are you daven to God for? Let's think about it, let's feel honestly. What are the things you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? But no, I'm saying, necessarily, what category of items do you daven to God for? What category? I'm sorry? Needs and wants. But specifically, what types of needs and wants? Things that I don't control. So I daven to God for my health. I don't control my health. I daven for God for my kids. I don't control my children. I daven for my parnasa. I put in the shtar list, but we all know I don't control my parnasa. So generally, I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things that are beyond my control. Things that require divine intervention. Rabosai, the amazing thing is, there's absolutely only one thing in this world that you and only you control, which is Yo Yirah Shamay. What do you say, Rameh?
The decision is yours.
Correct. So result. But when it comes to being about tshuva, ultimately, again, that want, that desire is mine.
Well, that's only if it's yours, Shamay. If you do tshuva for other reasons.
Say that once again.
You're assuming that tshuva is only if it's yours, Shamay. But if you do tshuva for other reasons.
Oh, okay, good. But I'm saying, even so, even if my tshuva is motivated for other reasons, whose choice is it? Does God control if I do tshuva or not? Here's the basic one. Does God control if I do tshuva?
No, you can control some of the supportive factors.
Okay, but this, you're right. You mean, I could choose to do tshuva. In order for me to do tshuva, I need A, B, C, D. God might control the A, B, C. But the decision to be about tshuva, now remember again, just so you understand, what's the essence of tshuva? If you distill all of tshuva into one moment, what's the moment of tshuva? I know this is like a very open-ended question. The moment of tshuva is, I'm sorry? Charat al avar, right? So the truth is, it could be remorse. I would even back it up. It's the moment you decide to change. The moment you, and maybe that is charat al avar, the moment you have remorse. The moment you decide to change, that's the moment of tshuva. God doesn't control that. That is something, I'll bring you a raya to this. The raya to this is, you know, probably the most famous story of the Baal Tshuva that never occurred was who? Is Elisha ben Avuya. Right? Elisha ben Avuya, Acher. See, even though Rabbi Meir, I just want to point out, it's the same Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Meir was the Talmud of Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya goes off the derech for whatever the reason, and Rabbi Meir is constantly telling him, Chazur b'cha, do tshuva. So remember again, what does Elisha ben Avuya always respond? His response is always the same. He said, I would, but, I heard from behind the divine counter, or divine curtain. Shuvu banim shovavim chutz me'achar. Everyone could return, except for Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya can't return. So there is an incredible statement of the Shla. The Shla writes that there's an amazing Gemara Basra. The Gemara says, that's actually a good Gemara to know. The Gemara says, Kol ma she'tomer eilecha balabayis asei, chutz mitzei. Right? In general, if you're a guest at someone's house, whatever the Baal HaBas tells you, you have to listen. So the Baal HaBas tells you to make Kiddush, make Hamotzi, bench, get up, stay, right? Whatever it is, with one exception, which is what? Get out. Now, I don't know exactly how this actually plays out, right? If the host tells you get out, then you can say, well, you know, this is Baal HaBas that says I don't have to go. Whatever, you let me know how that goes. But the Shlach Chadosh says that there's a profound spiritual message in there also. Kol ma she'tomer eilecha balabayis asei. Whatever God tells you to do, you should do. Chutz mitzei. Unless God tells you, get out, I don't want you anymore, you can't be a Baal Tshuva, I can say, God, thank you, I hear what you're saying. Noted, I don't have to listen to you. Which tells you, I will say, that's what? That the concept of Tshuva is something that we and we alone control. I control if I'm a Baal Tshuva. So the Maharsha comes along and he says, in general, again, it's interesting that we daven, right? Remember again, in Shmona Esrei, what do we say? Right? Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, hashiveinu Hashem, Hashiveinu Avinu, thank you. Right? Hashiveinu Avinu l'tzarsecha v'karveinu makenu l'avecha. So the Maharsha is essentially, although he doesn't say it explicitly, how can I even daven Hashiveinu? What do you mean God return me? What does that mean? If I want to return, it's in my hands. It sounds strange to say because we're so conditioned to say that everything is in the hands of Hashem, right? Isn't that what we're taught? HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything. But yet it's important to recognize that there is one area of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not control. And that's the area of my tshuva. If I choose to return, if I choose to do, that's up to me. So the Maharsha, before he even gets to our Gemara, says, by the way, How do we even daven Hashivenu Avinu L'Sar Sech? How do we even daven that? After all, again, it's all up to me. See, he says something amazing. After all, HaKobel Yishayin Chosi Yer HaShamayim, Hari Amru, second line, number two, B'derech Sha'adam Rotze Leilech Molichin Oso. V'harotze L'taher Misa'ayin Oso. V'zeh HaMavakish Rachamim Alatzmo L'Achziro B'tshuva. Hare Zeh Bichlal HaRotze L'taher. So the Marsha says it's very simple. What am I doing in Hashivenu Avinu? What am I doing with us? It's actually very interesting. What I'm saying to God is, God, here's my ratzon. What I want is, I want to come back to you. I want to come back to you. What am I asking God for? Right? And this goes to Shua's point. Siyat Nishmaya, asking for assistance. Because like Shua said, even if I make the decision, at the end of the day, there are so many circumstances around me. So I've made the concrete decision to return. God, I'm asking you to help facilitate. Help me. Not do it for me. It's not your job. It's my job. Help me along the process. We'll say, first of all, isn't that incredible? Right? It's not up to God to bring me back. It's not up to God for me to do tshuva. At the end of the day, I must make the decision to return. Once I make the decision, God can help me along with the decision. Fine. But says the Marsha, what's going on over here? But how can you daven for someone else to do tshuva? Doesn't make sense. Right? Think about this just a moment. I can't really even daven for myself to do tshuva. What's the most I could daven for? What's the most I could daven for? Help move my decision along. I decided I want to do tshuva. Help move me along. I can't pray to God, God, help me do tshuva. No, if I want to do tshuva, I'm going to do tshuva. Once I made the decision to do tshuva, I can say, Hashem, help me further my decision. But it says in the Marsha, how can you daven for someone else to do tshuva? Isn't that what's occurring over here? Right, let's go back to the story. Rabbi Meir is being bothered by these guys. He has a very simple solution. What's his solution? Right, kill him. So simple, right? Quick, easy, kill him. Beruya comes along and says, come on, you don't have to kill them. Instead, daven for them to do tshuva. Rabbi Meir says, great idea. Well, see, not only is it a great idea, but he davens them to do tshuva. And what? And what? They do tshuva. Says the Marsha, what is happening over here? You can't daven for someone else to repent. You can't daven for someone else to do tshuva. If someone's going to do tshuva, that has to be the decision they and they alone make. Rabbi Meir, hear the shayla? It's a dramatic shayla. And Rabbi Meir, think about it, by the way. We're going to see how often do we daven for other people? How many tefillos to happen every day in Klal Yisrael for parents davening for children to come back to the derech, right? For parents davening for children to be inspired to come back to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Marsha, we don't daven for that. You don't daven for someone else to do tshuva. You don't daven for someone else to come back to the fold of Yiddishkeit. If they come, ultimately, again, that's a decision they're going to make. But that's up to them. That's between them and God. That's the one decision that only the penitent can decide that he wants to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't daven for someone else. In fact, as we're going to see, such a tefillah like that may actually be categorized as a tefillas shav. As a prayer in vain. As a prayer in vain. You can't daven for someone else to do tshuva. Why not? Why not? Because tshuva is a choice. Menachem, what's bothering you?
You can't daven for your child or your spouse or to be inspired to see your greatness.
It sounds like not. It sounds like not. I know it hurts to say it. But I'm saying if we take away the emotion, stop being so emotional, right? I'm kidding. It's a joke. Right? If we take away the emotion for a moment, let's look at this from an intellectual perspective. If I believe that tshuva is a personal decision, and it's the only one life decision that God himself absents himself from, he's not involved in it. If you do tshuva, that's up to you. So then logic would dictate, I can't daven for you to do tshuva. Because it's not up to God. When I daven to God for something, I'm davening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to intervene and help. Rifa'inu, heal me. Okay, I need God for that. Tshuva, that's up to you. So what am I doing? Praying to God for something that you control. So, you know, the words get a little bit tricky. So you're asking, can you daven for someone to be inspired? I would think not. I would think that inspiration, tshuva, is all the same thing. When you talk about your relationship with God, your relationship with God is yours and yours alone. And the nature and quality and substance of it is yours and yours alone. God has, sounds strange, God has nothing to do with it. Right? It's all your decision. So look what the Maharsha says. Yes?
Why can't you doubt that like, someone's over there? Why can't you daven for them to have, like, when someone's doing shuva, that means they hit an epiphany. They had a bach b'ayis and they have to do something to better themselves. Why can't you pray for that situation?
Oh, good. Maybe for to pray for them to have the epiphany. Okay, hold on to that. Hold on to that. Good.
It seems that the suggestion of really a two-step process. It doesn't say pray for them to do tshuva. It's
Right.
It seems like it's a two-step process where
I think that's putting, unless you're a Hasidish Rebbe, you can't insert comments like that. Right? Or commas like that. No, that's a stretched reading. You want to say, Bayerach mi alayhu, comma, delehadra b'tshuva. That's not Pashup Shah in the Gemara. Maybe that's a good reading. I hear it. I like it. It speaks to me. And maybe we'll see something even maybe that could fit into that. But I think Pashut reading of the Gemara, which is clearly how the Maharsha read it, is it's one thing. Daven for them that they should do tshuva. So look what the Maharsha says. So the Maharsha is very bothered by this. He says, Avalavaki Shrachim, second to last line in number two. Avalavaki Shrachim Machaveir Lachzira B'tshuva Kasha. How can you daven for someone else to do tshuva? My Yo'il Bakashaso. Why would such a prayer be effective? Ha'amina Nakobi Deshain Chutz Mi'ir HaShemayim. Vishanu Mispalim Vachzirena B'tshuva Shlema Lo Kasha Kokach Kevan Shu Kolel Es Atzmo. Ultimately, again, so remember, so even when we say Achzirena B'tshuva, even though that's phrased in the plural, plays in the plural, I'm included in that as well. But let's leave that on the side. So therefore, again, the Maharsha is a Kasha Lahavin. The Maharsha, by the way, ends up ultimately says, V'yesh liyashiv, says there is an answer, but he doesn't give the answer. Which leaves off then what the Maharsha is saying. The truth is, I don't really understand the dynamic in this Gemara. I'm not exactly sure. It's the Maharsha. I don't really understand what's happening. Now, there's two pieces to this. The Maharsha is saying that I don't really understand what it is that occurred over here. I don't understand Beria's suggestion that Rabbi Meir should daven for them to do tshuva. But they're also saying the question is even stronger. Because what? He did, and what? And it worked. So I'll say, so what's fascinating over here is, it's fine and dandy that Maharsha's raising a theological question. That's fantastic. But Lamaisa, Tachlis, it worked. So the Shaila is, so here's what we have. There is an incontestable fact, which is Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mi'ir HaShamayim. God is involved in everything except your relationship with Him. That is up to you. That's up to you. Which then tells me that really, I can't really even dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me have a relationship with Him. The only thing I do is, once I go ahead and I make a decision that I want a relationship, I want to come back, I want to do tshuva, I can ask God for His assistance in coming back. That's possible. But to daven for someone else certainly seems to be totally theologically alien. Such a concept like this should not even exist, yet it does. Yes? So good. So what we're going to see over here is that could fit in. Hold on to it for a second. Yes. So the answer, we do this. We daven for people to be inspired. And we daven, using your word, Menachem. We daven for people to go, the question is why? We're going to get there. But I'm just pointing out, you have a Gemara that has Rabbi Meir davening people to the tshuva. It works. The Maharsha is saying, I don't understand why it works, but it works. Shul, you going to say something? Okay. Okay, so take a look at number three. So I came across this yesterday. I saw this quoted in a sefer. I had never heard of the sefer. This is the Shailus Tshuvas Mi'il Tzedakah. It's Rabbi Yonah Landsofer, who lived from 1678 to 1712, died as a young man. He was a Rav in Bohemia. Rav in Bohemia. So he wrote this tshuva. Again, I apologize for the print. I don't have Otzer HaChachma, but I have Chavrus who has Otzer HaChachma. So he was able to track it down for me. So this is Mamish, like, not the original, obviously, but it reads like the original. Let's take a look at paragraph A. So we'll say, this is incredible. Sheila, here's the Sheila. Be'ir Izmir. So the Mi'il Tzedakah apparently was getting shuvas from other places, from Izmir, right? From Turkey. from Turkey. So right, this, we'll say, this is a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. This happened in Izmir, Turkey. Yotze Echad Midato Ledas Acher. A man left Judaism and went to a different religion. I'm guessing if it's happening in Izmir, I'm guessing it's Islam. But whatever it is, the other religion is not really so consequential. He goes to another religion. So we'll say, watch this. V'lokach gamkin imo b'no katan. And when he left, he took with him his young son, a young child. V'nistapku sham im rasho'im achirim hispalel alav shiachzireyo Hashem la'avadaso. V'yitin bilavavo loshuv b'tshuva shlema, ad shelo noda mayotziahu pokeach pesach, poseach pesach, excuse me. Oh, he heard tshuva b'lavolo. And it says, what was the shayla that came out of Izmir? This guy left, he went to another religion. So the shayla they were asking is, can we daven for him to return to Yiddishkeit? Can we daven for him to return to Yiddishkeit? The way they phrased it is very interesting. What they were asking, because what were they mesupak about? Why were they weren't sure? Does the guy have any hirhurei tshuva? Does he have any thoughts of tshuva in his heart? Any thoughts of tshuva in his mind? Now, say, why does it matter if he has thoughts of tshuva in his heart or his mind? Why does that matter? Why would that matter? Because remember, if a person has thoughts of tshuva, then you could enlist the help of the divine to kind of push them along the path. So if I know that someone is struggling, I mean, maybe this goes to your point as well. If I know that someone is struggling and they just need a little push, I could daven to God for that, even for someone else, because they're trying. The shayla in this case over here is, I don't even know if the guy is trying or not. So the Me'il Tzedakah says something amazing. He says, tshuva, we're not going to do all of this, just parts of it. Tshuva, tzrichin anu la'amod bedin al zeh, shnei sveikas. So says the Me'il Tzedakah, first of all, there's two issues we have to deal with. Number one, im yomar lehispalel kazeh, demechse ketfila shav, lefi shakobu shaykhos yir shamayim, shemafra hashem lebchira, shem sorry, shemasro hashem lebchira sa'eno, shilimani yeschav onish balim. So first issue is that being about tshuva is up to you. God actually doesn't get involved in that. So if God doesn't get involved in that, then davening for someone to be about tshuva, right, could actually be a tilas shav, a prayer in vain. That's issue number one. The second issue it brings up is, mind your own business. Which is, maybe people's relationships with God is not my business. Meaning, at the end of the day, if God's going to bring someone closer, not bring someone closer, that's between the person and God. Maybe it's not my place to get involved in someone else's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. He then goes on and he makes a very interesting observation.
There's
kind of an argument. Sure, that's why, again, he's saying that, why am I telling God to bring someone closer? If God's going to bring the person closer, he's going to bring him closer, whether I daven or not. That's his idea. Which, I think the first issue is stronger than the second one. But look what he writes. Fine betchila, namod kitzas al inyone habechira. I'm in paragraph B, about halfway down. He says, first, let's analyze a little bit regarding free choice. This is incredible. He says, "Shenite miyad adam kizos habechira eina matana nechletes levilti heshe b'shum ofen." So the first thing he'll start says is, "Come on, we're amongst friends. Let's be honest. Bechira chafshes is not always bechira chafshes." Now, what is he saying? Free will isn't always free will. What does he mean? This is very exciting. What does that mean? He means we have examples on record where God has manipulated free will. In other words, I'll say, right? So meaning this whole discussion over here is the ability to do tshuva is something that is rooted in my bechira. Therefore, really, it's not up to God. It's fundamentally up to me. God doesn't interfere in my bechira. So therefore, I can't daven to be about tshuva. I can't daven for someone else. Says the Me'il Tzedakah, not totally true. Not totally. I'm sorry. Paro. So Paro is the paradigmatic example of that. Right? Vayichazik Hashem eslev Paro. We see. I'm sorry. So that can't be the B'derech Tshuva. But even if you want to say that that is God moving Paro along the path that he wanted, still, God involved himself in someone's free will. So the point that the Me'il Tzedakah is making is, don't tell me that God never gets involved in free will. It's not true. It's not true, right? What Romero is bringing up is, all God is doing is allowing Paro to do the things he really wants to do and giving him more energy to do that. That's fine. But that's still divine involvement in free will. So correct. So the Mil Tzedakah says, by the way, you know what we also call that? You could label that a shtickle bechira tempering. You could, if you want to be a little bit cynical, you could call that bechira tempering, right? Where God, essentially it's true. God sees what I want to do, so what is he doing? He's nudging me along that way, which means he is, tempering is too strong of a word, but he's involving himself. I'm sorry? Meddling. All right, that's even worse than tempering, right? He's involving, right? But he's getting, the point is he's getting involved. Right, that's the point. The whole argument up until now is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get involved in matters of my free choice, and the area where I exhibit the greatest amount of free will is in tshuva. So all the Mil Tzedakah says, not totally true. Not totally true. God does get involved in the Mechira. He goes on. But just because of time, I'll have to skip around a little bit. Skip to paragraph C. It says, V'nir libi yeshuvo ki vaday HaKadosh Baruch Hu d'lapamim HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamish. So in paragraph C, he again goes on and explains that there are certain circumstances, ultimately, again, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved. And then he says something amazing. Paragraph D. He says, Ela bo klomer. So now we'll say, the Mi'il Tzedakah quotes our Gemara Meseches Brachas. Remember again, what's the Shaila out of Izmir? The Shaila out of Izmir is, can we daven for this guy to do tshuva? So the Mi'il Tzedakah quotes our Gemara Meseches Brachos. Because the Gemara Meseches Brachos discusses over here again, someone, sinners, who again Rabbi Meir daven for them to do tshuva. He says something amazing. Paragraph D. Kolomar, agav shnitan lecha reshos l'ispalel, sheyasir mimcha kadosh baruch hu tsa'aram. Ulai mutar l'hispalel de lahadru mikol, v'kol kamo sheyispalel davar al-hashon. So then the Mi'il Tzedakah says something amazing. He says, what's happening in the Gemara? Rabbi Meir is davening. And we'll say, why is Rabbi Meir davening for them to do tshuva? Is Rabbi Meir davening for them to do tshuva because he cares about their spiritual welfare? He has a self-interest. Right? What's his self-interest? He's davening for himself. In other words, these guys are making my life a living Gehenna. I don't want a life that's a living Gehenna. So I can either daven for them to die, which was his original thought, but then his wife says, listen, you could accomplish the same thing and they could just live, which is daven for them to do tshuva. So the Mi'il Tzedakah says something amazing. He says, maybe, you're allowed to daven for someone to do tshuva when their lack of tshuva impacts you. Because then, the essence of my tefillah is not really that the other should do tshuva, but the essence of my tefillah is what? Self-serving. Rabbi Meir says, I don't want to be bothered by these bayonim anymore. So if they do a tshuva, they won't bother me. We'll say, where does this come up? He quotes over to the Arizal in paragraphs E and F, where the Arizal says, that's why, the Arizal writes, that if a parent has a child who goes off the derech, the parent is permitted to daven for the child. The parent is permitted to daven that the child should do tshuva. You can't daven for someone else to do tshuva. But as a parent, I know, to be honest, I'm davening for my child. But who am I really davening for, if I'm honest? At least partially, who am I davening for? For me. It causes me incredible pain that my child is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. It causes me incredible pain that my child is not living in the Derech HaTorah, Derech HaMitzvos. It bothers me. And so as a result, I'm not really... Yes, I'm davening for my child, but to be honest, it's not purely altruistic. I'm not just davening because every Jew should be a chozer b'tshuva. I'm davening because it's causing me an incredible amount of pain. He goes on, paragraph H. V'nir of the Odes. So I will say, so now, this is dramatic about the Mi'il Tzedakah. So the Mi'il Tzedakah advances this idea. Number one, first of all, maybe the problem is not as big. Everybody says it's a big problem because God doesn't interfere in Bechira. It's not totally true. Sometimes when God needs to, He does get involved in Bechira. Number two, maybe you're allowed to daven for someone else to do tshuva when their lack of tshuva is causing you tsar. So I am allowed to daven for the alleviation of my tsar. My tsar is wrapped up in your bad behavior. So I'm davening for you to do tshuva so that my tsar should be spared. He says something amazing. Paragraph H. Venerally owed, benidon shalanu, da'av al beno rashe lispalel d'matzino b'ram zakava. I'm sorry, skip down to paragraph I. That's the son for the father for the son. Achim benidon shalefaneinu, b'shil osa atinuk shenishpa imo rashan lispalel. He says something else. Remember what happened in this case over here? In this case, the father left a fold, and who did he take with him? A baby. See, now it turns out, I don't think in the beginning of the tshuva he wrote a baby, right? He says, b'no katan. So now the Mi'il Tzedakah says like this. I could daven for that baby. That baby doesn't have a fighting chance. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to intervene, because if the baby's raised without you, how's the baby going to know you? But in order for the baby to have a fighting chance, what has to happen? The father has to be a chozer b'tshuva as well. So since I could daven for the baby, because without divine intervention, the baby's not going to find God, I could therefore daven for the father as well, because I'm not really davening for the father. The father is his own b'chira, but I'm davening for the father. Why? Why? In order to enable the baby to be chozer b'tshuva. So I will say, it's really the same idea, which essentially the Me'il Tzedakah says, you can daven for someone else to be chozer b'tshuva when there's a benefit in this process. And not just like, it can't be like a fluffy benefit, like, I love it when all Jews serve God, right? That's beautiful. But apparently it has to be something more utilitarian, more concrete, more, sounds strange, more self-serving. More self-serving. My child, Chas Hashem, is off the derech that causes me pain. I want to daven, Chas Baruch Hu, I'm davening for the amelioration of my own pain. In this case over here, the Me'il Tzedakah says, you could daven for the baby. Everybody agrees you could daven for the baby. People say, why does everybody agree you could daven for the baby? This is very important. Why does everybody agree you could daven for the baby? Because the baby can't do it without divine intervention. The baby doesn't know. And he actually goes on to say, this applies to other cases of people who will fall into the category of tinokos shenishbu. People who are raised without anything. If someone is raised with nothing, they cannot be expected to come to God on their own. In those circumstances, you are permitted to daven for divine intervention to enable this person to be a Baal Tshuva, because without divine intervention, there's no realistic way that the person can make it back home. Therefore, says the Me'il Tzedakah something amazing. He says, I don't think you could daven ultimately again for the guy who left, but you can daven for his baby. But because you're going to daven for the baby, therefore what? Therefore what? You're going to daven for the individual as well. So both say this Me'il Tzedakah is very important on a number of different levels. Number one, it gives us an insight into the Gemara. Why is Rabbi Meir ultimately able to daven for the Bar Yonah to do tshuva? Why? Why? Because who is he really davening for? Himself. Right? If they would be Bali tshuva, the pain would stop. So he's davening for the alleviation of his own tsar. That is permitted. Furthermore, it comes out from the Me'il Tzedakah that what? That halacha l'maisa, when the person has absolutely no shot at tshuva on their own, like a tinok shenishma, someone raised without any kind of Yiddishkeit, so there's no real possibility that they're going to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu on their own, in that case, you can daven for them, you can daven to God to intervene and have them do tshuva. So in this case, here it says the Me'il Tzedakah, you could daven for the baby. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved the baby, but realistically, the Olam HaTeva, the way the baby's going to come back is if the father comes back. Therefore, ultimately, again, you could go ahead and daven for the father, ultimately, in order to enable the baby's return as well. But I'll just end off with perhaps one last shot, but this will conclude. Another possibility as to what the Gemara means, how Rabbi Meir was able to daven for the Bar Yonah to do tshuva. If you take a look at number four, this is from Rav Kook. Rav Kook in Oras HaTshuva writes something so beautiful. He says, Be'emes, e'efshar lehistromim el ha'tshuka ha'ruchanah shel Yeshua saklal, b'li tshuva p'nimes amuka b'kolchei tova avon. Omnam, I'm just going to read this line, then we'll stop. Yochid sheshav b'muvan zeh, mochelin lo, u'lechol ha'olam kulo. But say, Rav Kook over here quotes this idea, that when the individual does tshuva, he lifts up the rest of the world with him as well. That's the Gemara Maseches Yuma, number 5 that I put on your sheet. Hayah Rabbi Meir Omer. And what's he going to say? It's not coincidence. Rabbi Meir says, Gidola tshuva. Tshuva is great. Shebishil yachid sha'asa tshuva. Mochan lo ulachala olam kulo. When an individual does tshuva, that tshuva doesn't just have an impact on the individual, but it has an effect on the world as a whole. So Rav Kook says, Rav Kook waxes on poetically, beautifully, about how the tshuva of the individual uplifts and changes the world. And perhaps what's happening in this Gemara is as follows. Rabbi Meir wants to daven for them to die. Bruria says, no. Bruria says, you don't have to do that. You actually can go ahead and daven for them to do tshuva. In Rabbi Meir's prayer, perhaps, in Rabbi Meir's process of davening for them to do tshuva, really what's happening over here is Rabbi Meir himself is doing tshuva. What does Rabbi Meir need to do tshuva on? What does he need to do tshuva on, I'm say? Right? I'm wishing someone dead. Right? At the end of the day, he had lost his faith in these people. Rabbi Meir does tshuva for the willingness and want to have other Jews die. When Rabbi Meir does tshuva, I'm say, what happens? When the individual does tshuva, he lifts up the entire world with him. So perhaps what the Gemara is actually focusing on over here is with Rabbi Meir's tshuva, the baryonim are brought along with him on the journey. Which is why Rabbi Meir himself is the author of this statement in Maseches Yuma. We'll say when you do tshuva, and this kind of circles all the way back, if sometimes the best way to allow others to be inspired is to live a more inspired life yourself. The more inspiration, the more tshuva that you bring into your world and your life, the more that impacts others around you, sometimes in ways that you'll never even know. Rabbi Meir decides to change himself, and in the course of changing himself, he changes the world around him as well. I'll stop over here. Transaction clock to Jeremy and to Jacob for arranging everything. Was this going to be our regular spot? What do you all good. The executive committee will meet.